Hey, Warheads, welcome to episode 39 of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes a pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and it is Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody.
I don't know if you do Happy Halloween or not, but it is very spooky in here right now. You know, with the lights off and the flickering candles. You didn't really have to do the mood lighting or anything, man.
I like how you're looking around as you're actually saying those things. It makes it very authentic.
Yeah, you know, I try my best. I mean, because even though nobody could see me, I still want to make sure that at least I know what's going on. And Rambo's even freaking out that it's the Halloween episode.
Black cat.
He's not a black cat.
For today's episode, he's a black cat.
Okay, he's not a black cat.
The voice that you've been hearing is Mr. Hollister. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jonathan. How you doing today, sir?
On
this spooky Halloween episode.
I'm scared to be here, man. And to my left, we have the effervescent and intriguing Mr. Daniel Richardson.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, Daniel. How are you today?
Not too bad.
Actually, this was Daniel's idea to do this episode.
You're right. It was. I actually, as soon as you said, hey, what about Halloween? I'm like, yeah.
It was a great idea. So, well, we'll see how great it is after the questions, you know.
That's a really good point. So why don't we start, Chris, we'll start with you. Why don't we start with, do you have a favorite Halloween memory or a time that you were really scared on Halloween?
I do. I've actually never really been scared on Halloween. For one reason or another, it's never really a big thing. But I actually have two memories, but I'll share one of them. And then if you're bored with that one, then I'll change it up and go to the other one.
I like that idea.
Okay, good. When I was 17, I worked at a Chick-fil-A in the Orange Park Mall. And Mr. Arnold, our owner, really wanted to have a couple people dress up and pass out candy to all the kids, because this was starting when the malls actually brought kids in and did trick-or-treating there. And I didn't really have a costume, so I talked to my uncle, and he had this old Darth Vader mask that is like, it's two pieces, and it actually looks pretty authentic. It's not like a plastic piece of crap that you can buy now in any store.
There's no string tied around your head.
Exactly right. It's very hard plastic and everything like that, and it's one of my favorite things. It's, as a matter of fact, it's the only thing I've asked them that I want in the will under my name is that Darth Vader mask.
Wow.
Yes. And so...
That's kind of sad.
So I don't have a cape. I didn't have a cape, and I went out looking for an all-black cape, and they didn't have any, and so all they had were these vampire capes.
Why didn't you go to the linen section of a store and just buy a black sheet?
You know, I was 17 at the time, dude. I was starting to, I needed to get something, so I cut off the red that was on this vampire cape, tied it around me and everything, and then I was like, you know what, just to irk my boss, because Mr. Arnold was a huge Florida State fan, I put on this University of Florida Gator shirt and was Darth Gator for Halloween. And the kids loved it, except for when, I mean, it's just, I wouldn't say anything. I would just look down and reach into the thing and pull out candy. And of course, it's this big, scary Darth Vader mask. And they would never look at the chest. They were looking at the Vader mask and be freaked out. And it was awesome.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. You were like... use the force, blah, blah.
Actually, no, I didn't say anything at all. I just went...
Oh, you had too much fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Daniel, do you have a favorite Halloween memory?
Oh, so many to choose from.
Really?
Do you have any clean ones?
Well, that's another matter entirely.
It's like, there's this time I was putting these sewing needles inside of Snickers bars.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
Note to self, don't trick-or-treat at Jonathan's house. When I was in high school, I was in the theater club. And when the Jacksonville Fair came through, they tapped the local high school's drama clubs to work the fair and the various attractions, and we got to work in the haunted house.
Oh.
And this is when the fair used to come through at the end of October. So we would have just free run of the costume room and get to make our own stuff, dress up however we wanted, and we would either work inside the haunted houses, jumping out scaring people, or we would get to wander through the park.
Yeah.
And just scare the
now, what park
water
was this?
Out of people. It's the Jacksonville Fair.
Oh, okay.
It was the county fair that they had downtown.
Yeah, and it always seems to be right around Halloween that the fair comes.
Well, it used to be. It's not anymore. It's in November now because things started to get a little bit rambunctious around Halloween time.
So
the city decided to move it later so that it wouldn't coincide with Halloween anymore.
Smart move, probably.
How about you, man? What is your favorite Halloween or scariest moment from Halloween?
You know, I can't think of too many. There was one. The time that I was enjoyed the most was probably with my ex-wife. We went to Wild Adventures one time for Halloween, and they do a haunted. They have like four or five haunted houses, and they have a haunted garden walk, and they have like a haunted train ride. And just, everything's haunted, right? And they, I don't know if you've ever been, but they do different themes for your haunted houses. So you'll have a mad scientist haunted house and a zombie haunted house. And my favorite was the crazy evil clown haunted house. So my ex-wife never told me, but she was super scared in the clown house. It was incredible, man. It was she was behind me. She was like wrapping herself around me, and these guys in these clown masks, obviously they're looking at me, and they're like, well, okay, he's not reacting, and they're looking at her ducking and hiding behind me. And so literally they're like just kind of creeping their head around behind me and boo, you know, just kind of scaring her. And she was so scared. It was thoroughly enjoyable. I couldn't tell you how much I enjoyed that.
Wow.
So there you go. So happy Halloween to everybody. We hope that you have a great one. And so today's episode specifically is a Halloween themed episode. We are going to ask all questions that are either related to Halloween, related to scary movies, related maybe to, I didn't pull the question, so I don't know, but maybe to candy or to other things that remind you of Halloween. So we hope you guys enjoy.
Yes.
Before we get started, I'm a little chilly, brother. I think it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
Well, it's funny because Jonathan beforehand just mentioned all the questions are going to be Halloween related, except for this one. And that's because I really thought about trying to do a Halloween question, but the problem was Daniel created all the questions, and I didn't want to do something that he potentially was going to ask.
Oh, okay.
And so I purposely stayed away from all Halloween-related questions.
That was a good move.
Chris. Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know what's floating in that brain of yours, and I don't want to know.
Formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde. Anyway, so y'all's question tonight, and yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
Y'all's question.
Yeehaw!
You know how I love a good top 10 list. So your Warm It Up Chris question today is, in terms of dollars in the box office, I want you to give me the biggest traditionally animated movies of all time.
Okay.
So and what I mean by that is none of the computer animated. So no Toy Stories, no Toy Story 2, no Toy Story 3, because we've already asked that question a few episodes ago.
Okay.
This is traditional or drawn-based cartoon movies.
Okay.
The top 10.
Do you want to alternate?
Yes, I would. And Daniel, I'll go ahead and start with you.
Now, Daniel's a bit of a movie buff, so he's going to be warming up better than I am, I think.
Indeed.
I'm guessing at least 75% of those are Disney movies.
That is a fair and accurate statement. As a matter of fact, I will help you out here.
9 out of 10?
8 out of 10 are Disney movies.
Ooh, I was close. Let's see. I'm going to go with The Lion King.
The Lion King is number one with a bullet.
That's what I was going for.
And that was $987,483,777 worldwide box office.
All right, I'm going to step away from the mic and take a victory lap.
Hey, come back. Come back, man. All right, Jonathan, you're up.
So out of curiosity, is this adjusted for inflation at all?
No, it is not. It's actual dollars that were spent at that point in time.
Okay.
And I should say that this is as of 2015.
Okay, so I'm going to say Aladdin.
Aladdin is number three on this list with $504,050,219.
Love Aladdin. Great movie.
Put up a
yes, because that's exactly what it sounds like.
I'm going to challenge myself here. I'm going to try to pick one of the two non-Disney ones on the list.
Okay.
And let's see. It's got a Blu-ray release coming up very soon. One of Vin Diesel's early roles, The Iron Giant.
The Iron Giant is not on this list.
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
Actually, I think that did not make very much money at all. I remember reading something about that because it was one of those underappreciated movies that when it came out on DVD, that's when it really started to get appreciated. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Dumbo.
Dumbo is not on the list.
Okay, so the old ones really didn't get much money then, because Dumbo's a fantastic movie.
That's right. How about this? I will help you out a little bit more and say that the earliest released movie that's on here is 1988.
Oh, that is a big difference.
And I also need to say that...
Crap, I don't know if I can name 10.
You need to think a little outside of the box on one of them, because traditional animation was a part of this movie. Go ahead.
I got it, too. Immediately. You said this wasn't animated the other day, jerk.
How did I say it the other day? I don't even remember talking about this.
If it's the answer, I think it is. Well, you told me it wasn't animated the other day.
Daniel, you're up, so you want to say it?
I'm thinking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That is absolutely correct.
That's the one you said the other day when we were doing animated movies. You said... Who Framed Roger Rabbit doesn't count as an animated movie.
Well, according to this list, it does. So
that's what I thought.
$329,803,958. Okay, so Jonathan, you're up.
Okay, so I'm going to say Cool World.
Cool World is not on here.
Okay.
Man, you are really digging deep. I mean,
I'm just trying to think of animated stuff that wasn't computers, so I'm going in the 90s.
But you're not going with Disney movies, which is what we figured out were primarily on this list.
All right, fine. Fine.
All right.
Fine.
Daniel J. Richardson, what is your next answer?
Fine.
Space Jam.
Not on the list.
Oh. All right, I'm going to start making it easier on us.
Thank you.
Pocahontas.
Number 6 at $346,079,773.
The Little Mermaid.
Funny enough, Little Mermaid is not on this list. I really thought it would be.
I'm going to go with Mulan.
Mulan is on this list, number 9 at $304,320,254.
Really? Mulan is on the list, but not Little Mermaid.
I was shocked too.
But Little Mermaid wasn't on the list?
Wow, where were you? He just asked that question.
I must have been stunned.
I know. Little Mermaid was in 89. Mulan came out in 98. I just gave you one of them, so there you go. Would you like to finish my statement for me?
Is it Lilo and Stitch?
Yes, number 10, $273,144,151.
I want to know
one of my favorites.
I want to know how much Little Mermaid made after we finish this warm it up, Chris, because that's obscene.
Well, it'll be in the show notes, as a matter of fact. So
you mean at TrivialWarfare.com?
At TrivialWarfare.com.
One thing that I did notice the other day, or I was talking to somebody, and they're like, so you kept saying go to the show notes, and all I saw was a little snippet. Hit the read more button, people. If you don't hit the read more button, you're not seeing the real show notes.
Okay, let's go back to the warming up Chris question.
Okay,
there's
fine.
There's a few more on here. You're missing...
I'm not missing anything. You're missing Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and... Finally, number 5.
See, you said the earliest one was from the 80s, right?
88.
88, and that was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Let's see here. I'll say The Secret of Nim.
Not on this list.
Great movie.
And also, that was before 88.
Great
was it really?
Movie.
I think so. I think it was like 84, 85. All right, I'm going to give you guys one more shot at it, and then we'll finish it up.
What are the numbers that we need to hit?
You need... Number 2 is still out there. Number 4 is still out there.
Number 2?
Number 2 is still out there. Number 8 is still
out there.
Are you
sure you're not just misreading Little Mermaid?
I'm pretty sure I can read. So, Daniel, you're up for your last guess.
No, I'm up.
You're up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Jonathan, you're up to your second to last guess.
All right, I'm going to go with the one that I know is definitely drawn, but I don't think it made any money. I'm going to say Anastasia.
Incorrect. Daniel, your last guess.
Princess and the Frog.
Incorrect.
Really?
Really, really. And that was also in that was like 2010.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Nice. Number 1, of course, was Lion King. Number 2, The Simpsons Movie. $527 million. Number 3, exactly right. Number 4, Tarzan. At $448 million. 5, Beauty and the Beast. 6, Pocahontas. 7, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. 8, The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, I totally forgot.
$325 million. Mulan at number 9. Lilo and Stitch at 10.
You're telling me The Hunchback outdid
Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid.
Again, you're talking about a movie that was like almost 10 years afterwards. It's just, again, it's like what you're talking about with the ticket prices.
It's morally wrong.
It's a moral imperative. Anyway, shall we start?
Why don't we get this thing started?
Thank God. Daniel, what do you got for us?
We're going to have to break from traditional format a little bit. I'm not going to be giving you category names with these.
The category is Halloween.
The category is Halloween.
Okay.
All right. So, are we still going to do it with the six rounds, three questions each, or what have you got for us?
Yep, we'll do six rounds of three questions each, plus a midpoint and a final.
Okay.
All right, everybody ready?
Round one, fight!
Does anybody have a peanut?
All right, question number one of round one. Similar to Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, was named because it was a lead-in to a religious holiday. So what Catholic holiday was Halloween a lead into?
Do you want to say it together or you want to?
Sure.
Okay, one, two, three. All Saints Day.
Well done.
I'm so proud of you, Jonathan, for knowing that. You're such a saint.
I grew up Catholic, dude.
I didn't know that, actually. How did I not know this?
You've known that many times. You just always forget.
My wife was raised Catholic and she didn't know it.
L'chaim.
Opa.
All right, so question two. This one's going to be an all or nothing question. Whoever gets closest to the answer will receive the points.
You're going down, Hollister.
Bring it, Oaksy.
All right.
I just put pizza on my score sheet.
Pizza!
If you guys hear random chewing in the background, it's because there's random chewing in the background.
It's because it's high-quality production values.
That's right.
All right, what percentage of the total candy sold in the United States each year is sold for Halloween?
All right, we're going to both write our answers down. Okay, my answer's locked in.
All right, I'm going to go with 63%.
I did 45%.
So we're both thinking, like, I'm thinking people buy a lot of candy all the time, and Easter is another big candy holiday, so yeah. I didn't want to go too high, but I went way higher than you.
Yeah, because I was thinking Christmas is big candy, and then, of course, Easter is a big one, and then, of course, I mean, in Latino areas, they have piñatas that have candy in it, too, so ole.
Ole, indeed.
And the answer is, Daniel?
The answer is you both shot way past it. It was 25%.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, no.
10 points for the Chris.
It actually doesn't sound like a lot when you think about it. I mean, a quarter of all the candy sold in the U.S.
is for one day. Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's be honest. It's for all of the days afterward, too.
That's true. It's like parents cursing themselves for buying too much candy and going, dang,
taking it to work.
That's right.
Third question.
Round one, question three.
In which of the Friday the 13th movies does Jason Voorhees wear his infamous hockey mask for the first time?
Okay, I've written mine down.
All right, I'm going to go with Friday the 13th number 2. It's either 2 or 3. In number 1, Jason Voorhees wasn't even really the bad guy, if I remember. I've never seen any of them, by the way.
I'm right there with you. I have not either. I'm not a horror fan. I don't like the genre whatsoever.
Neither do I. I'm really easily scared, to be honest with you. Like, I'll have nightmares for years if I see a horror movie.
And for me, I'm just easily annoyed because I can understand if there's killing because it's part of a story, but senseless killing just to kill and to scare and to be obnoxious, I just don't like it.
That's my problem with the Saw movies, it's just gore for the sake of gore.
You're 100% right. But I just general knowledge, right?
General knowledge.
Major Pain. I'm under the impression that his mom was the bad guy in number 1. And so I believe he comes around in number 2, like rises from the dead or something. And I would wager that like at the very end of number 2 or something like that is when he probably first dons the mask. So I'm going to say Friday the 13th, number 2, or part 2.
And honestly, I was in the same thought process as you. I have number 2 as well.
Nope, it is part 3.
Ah.
In part 2, Jason is the killer, but he wears a sack over his head.
Really?
With just one eye hole cut out. It's, yeah.
Wow.
Very pitiful looking.
They could have called him Sackhead.
Wow.
So, but yeah, the movie Scream actually popularized that particular trivia question as far as the mother being the killer in the first movie.
That's right.
And it's become a very common very commonly known bit of movie trivia.
We'll see. And what's
outside of horror fans?
Yeah. Well, what's so funny is I just said how much I don't like horror films, but I love the Scream films, especially the first two. The first two are wonderful, and I really like the second one just because I didn't see it coming, a lot of the stuff that happened. And
I didn't see any of it coming.
I thought it was really smartly written. And then, of course, the first one where you think, and spoiler alert, if you have not seen or care to see Scream, then just pause this, watch it, and then come on back in a few days. Anyway, but you think Drew Barrymore is the main character in it, and the fact that they take her out within the first 5 minutes of the movie is just awesome.
Did you just do a spoiler alert for something 15 years old?
Yes, I did. Because people, you'd be surprised how much people get frustrated if you don't do spoiler alerts, man.
And not to mention, you know, there's always generations of people coming up who, you know, are maybe not quite old enough to...
You know, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So, like, you know, my son has never seen...
I hope not.
Scream.
Yeah, your son's like 6.
10.
Really?
Well, what's...
Yes,
what's,
we're getting old, Jonathan.
All right, so that's the end of round one. Jonathan, what's the score total?
Jonathan has 10 and Chris has 20.
Woohoo!
All right, so going into round two, first question... Count Dracula is well known to be based on Vlad Tepes, a 15th century dictator. My question is, what was the name of the kingdom that Prince Vlad actually ruled?
Ah.
Impalerville.
All right. I'm writing my guess down. And yes, I did say that right.
You've written it down?
I've written it down.
Man, I don't know. I believe... he was Romanian, and everybody likes to say that Dracula is Transylvania. I'm just going to give a stupid answer. I'm going to say Transylvania.
Okay. See, and of course, Transylvania came to my head, but I went ahead and went with the most obvious. So I just wrote Romania.
You're both incorrect.
Oh, is it Hungary?
Nope.
Okay. Is it not Hungary?
It is Wallachia.
You're just making up names now, man.
Not even a little bit. It was Wallachia.
Never heard of Wallachia.
I know, right? I've heard of Wakanda, but that's a fictional country. Is it next to Latveria?
It's in between Latveria and Wakanda. No, it's nice. It's. I'm not sure if it's technically a country or if it's like a principality or a city-state.
I don't think it was ever a country.
Is it next to Fredonia? All right, well, we squashed that one, so let's go on to the next question.
Yeah, Daniel brought the hard question in round two.
He did.
So, for the second question of round two, Halloween is generally accepted to have begun as what Celtic harvest festival?
All right, so I'll write my answer down.
You're writing it down, because the only thing I could think of is Oktoberfest. And so, I'm just going to say Oktoberfest and be done with it.
I said the autumnal equinox.
Ah, that's a much better answer than mine.
No. Now, remember, I specified it was a Celtic festival. It was their harvest festival.
I should have said, the autumnal equinox.
I'm glad you didn't.
Samhain.
Oh, I should have thought more about that. Doggone it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was in the Celtic calendar. November the 1st was the first day of the new year and the first day of winter.
Mm-hmm.
So October 31st, they would have their harvest festival to usher in the new year. And that is... the origin of modern-day Halloween.
I've heard that before. No doubt about it.
I have not. That's all I have to add on that question, too. Thanks. Move on to the next one.
Thanks, Forrest. That's all I've got to say about that.
All right, last question for round two.
In the movie Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
Trick-or-treating...
smell my feeding.
Is believed to be descended from the European practice of mumming or guising. This required participants to do what before they were allowed to get their treat? Now, there's three correct answers here. So you'll get full points for one question and then an additional 2 points for each of the others if you can give me either of those.
No and no.
Let's read the question again. Let me think about it.
Trick-or-treating is believed to be descended from the European practice of mumming or guising.
Can you spell guising?
G-U-I-S-I-N-G. Which required participants in groups to perform what activity before they were given their treat?
Okay.
Okay. I've got my answers written down.
All three?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Okay, cool.
I think all of them are crap, but okay. They're written down.
So, mumming to me, this reminds me of a Christmas tradition of caroling. I'm going to bet that my primary answer is going to be sing a song. So I'm going to say singing, I'm going to say tell a joke, or I'm going to say a prayer. My three answers are sing a song, tell a joke, and say a prayer. Okay.
My answers were singing, dancing, and bringing out the dead.
Bring out your dead.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm resting. No, that's the bird. Hello, Polly Parrot! All right, so...
Wow.
There's our answers. What do you got for us, Daniel?
All right. Actually, Christopher hit two out of the three.
Oh!
And Jonathan hit one.
Oh!
Although one of your answers was close enough...
Well, you're the judge.
And the jury, and the executioner.
You might be eligible for a little bit of points there. The answers were they would do a choreographed dance.
Oh, dancing!
Sing a song.
Hey!
Or perform a short play.
Perform a short play.
Or a comedic skit.
Oh, yeah, I don't think a joke is a skit. I wouldn't give myself credit for that.
All right.
Do you wish to award him the points for the bonus points or not?
Let's give him 1 point. For I am a kind and benevolent master.
All right, I'll take my 1 point.
And run away.
Run away. This is a very Monty Python heavy joke episode.
So I got 12 on that one, and you got 11.
Yes. So after round two, Chris is winning 32-21.
An excellent football game so far.
Now, for the first question of round three, what was the first individually wrapped penny candy sold in the United States?
Ooh.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
Is it a name brand or just a type of candy?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Now I'm actually at a loss.
I have two answers running through my head.
It sounds painful.
Mm.
So, written in, locked in.
Okay, so there's a candy that's kind of an old... I've always assumed it was an old-fashioned candy, and it's called Werther's Original.
Oh,
and so I'm thinking that it could just be Werther's... The original Werther's could be the answer, right? The other one that comes to mind is Starlight Mints, Starlight Peppermints. So those are the two that seem possible. And the Werther's is kind of a butterscotchy kind of thing, I think. I'm going to take that shot in the dark.
You sound like you're in pain.
I know. I don't want to say it. I'm going to go with Werther's.
See, I love the Werther's answer because that just makes me smile about my grandmother because my grandmother had Werther's all over her apartment when she died.
Old-fashioned.
When she died, we found it, like, tucked all over the place. It was pretty outstanding. It was just... So, hearing an answer like that makes me smile and kind of kick myself that I didn't think about that, but I just said it was a Hershey bar.
The answer was Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Roll!
Okay, for those who can't see, because we don't have a camera here, Jonathan's doing a Tootsie Roll right now. He's going, take it fast and take it slow, because here we go with Tootsie Roll.
You know, we should have gotten that.
Yeah, we really should have.
Should have gotten that.
It makes perfect sense.
I'm not mad about missing Samwin, and I'm not mad about missing Walika, or whatever that was. But Tootsie Roll, we should have gotten. Feel bad about that one.
I'm terribly sorry that you feel so bad about it.
Yep.
All right, so second question of the third round.
Second question of the third round is, who wrote the song Monster Mash?
He did the mash.
Mash. He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It's a graveyard smash. Oh, man. Wow.
I have heard this answer before.
I have heard this song a lot before, and I don't know the answer.
He was an actor and a singer. He played with a band called The Cordials, and the song began as he did a Boris Karloff impersonation during a rehearsal with some of his bandmates, and one of his bandmates really, really enjoyed it and told him to kind of run with it and keep it going, and that's... how the song came about. It started off as a Boris Karloff impersonation among the band members of the Cordials.
Yep, nope, that didn't help me out at all. Tapping out, calling uncle again.
Okay. Okay, so now I've got
loved the extra stuff. It was great information, but yeah, did not help whatsoever.
I've got more to work with now. So at first, I was thinking it might be the same guy who did Wooly Bully.
Was it Wooly Bully or Bully Bully? I thought it was Bully Bully.
Wooly Bully.
Was it Wooly Bully?
Wooly Bully! Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. But I don't think that it was Sam the Sham. And then I started thinking, what if it was like the one hit for that guy that Weird Al idolized when he was growing up? And I'm trying to think of his name for a while. And his name is like Dr. something, Dr. Fever or Dr. something. And I'm still,
Dr. Johnny Fever?
I'm still not sure. That might end up being my answer if I can think of his name. Dr. Demento, that was it. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go with Dr. Demento, but I don't think that's right. But okay. That's my answer, Dr. Demento.
Yeah, I cried uncle, but I was going to say it is Dr. Demento, and that's not the right answer.
Let me jump in here with the correct answer, which is Bobby Pickett.
Oh, wow.
Never heard of Bobby Pickett.
No, he was very... Oh, what was the song? Didn't he do like Land of a Thousand or 10,000 Dances or something like that?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't get that far in my research. Song.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I don't think that's Wilson Pickett.
That's... Okay. All right. I was thinking of the wrong Pickett.
Yeah.
All right.
We're not very good at Halloween stuff, Chris.
We kind of sucked the luck, Flanders.
Question three
of round three.
As we limp into the halftime question.
Right.
All right. What's the next question?
All right. What is the term for someone who is cursed as a werewolf?
Okay, so the scientific name for a werewolf? The condition of
transforming from a human being into a werewolf.
Okay.
I think I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'll but go. We got to write it down because it's hard to say.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I've written mine down, and thank God spelling doesn't count.
So why don't you say yours first? Okay.
I was saying it was a lichen.
Okay. So I'm being more specific, and you're going to have to judge if that counts or not, because that's like a character type in a movie. I said the condition is lycanthropy.
Oh.
It is lycanthropy.
Okay.
Lichen was...
They're werewolf characters in the movie Underworld.
Yes.
Well, no, they're and also in various other books and stuff like that. Lichen is more than just in that movie.
Is it? Because they're called lycanthropes.
I mean, Buffy mentioned it in theirs a bit, and so, I mean, there's been a few other things that I've seen, so. Anyway. I did not get that right by any stretch.
All right, that was great for Jonathan, then, because the score going into the half, 32 for Chris to 31 for Jonathan.
All right.
We may not be doing good.
But we're doing poorly.
But... we're not doing well either. No.
See,
it is competitive.
It is something, that's for sure. And again, I say Daniel is winning this right now.
Oh, I don't know. I'm coming up from behind.
Are you?
Yes. Well, I can see him in the distance.
Wow.
Again, Jonathan, phrasing.
All right. So what's our halftime question, Daniel?
So for your midpoint question, the category is Halloween costumes. I have a list of the top 10 most popular girls' Halloween costumes and the top 10 most popular boys' Halloween costumes from 2014. And what I want from you guys is, in any order, 5 from each of those lists. 5 okay. of the girls and 5 of the boys.
And they're worth 2 points each?
And they're worth 2 points each.
All right, let's take a minute and figure this out.
Okay, when we say girls, we're talking about kids, right? Not women, because...
Sexy pirate.
And what about naughty nurse?
No, these are all children's costumes. Oh. So hopefully...
Thanks for that clarification.
Hopefully naughty nurse and sexy pirate are not on this list.
Arr. See, the interesting part for me is that the boys was very easy for me to come up with the answers.
Me too.
The girls, super hard.
Working on it.
Just a side note here that might help you guys out a little bit. Some of these are specific characters... but some of them are also non-specific.
Okay, I'm locked in.
All right, I have my 10.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
You want me to go first, Jonathan?
You name your boys, and then I'll do mine, and then I'll name my girls, and then you do yours.
Okay. The 5 boys' costumes I got are Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Bumblebee from the Transformers, and Harry Potter.
Okay, and Jonathan?
I said Captain America, Hulk, Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Thor.
For the boys, you each got three.
Okay.
What?
The top 10 was Spider-Man, a ninja, Batman, Superman.
Oh, I almost wrote Superman.
I can't believe I didn't think of Batman.
Captain America.
Yay.
A knight, Optimus Prime, Iron Man, and Darth Vader.
Doggone it.
Darth Vader? Really?
Darth Vader.
Man, I really thought Bumblebee, because I saw a lot of Bumblebees last Halloween. So I thought that was in there.
I can't believe that Hulk isn't one of them.
Oh, he does smash a lot.
I'm telling you, it's a fun character to be.
Yeah, and all you need is some torn up pants and some green body paint.
And buy the big gloves. Hulk smash. All right, so girls, I'm going princess heavy.
Yep.
I said Elsa, Anna, Cinderella, Rapunzel, and Sophia the First.
Ah, see, again, you very, very similar to mine. I went Hermione Granger, Elsa, Anna, Cinderella, and Sophia the First. And thanks to
the only difference we had is I said Rapunzel and you said Hermione. Yeah,
and thank goodness for my my goddaughter for even being able to go near half that stuff.
Well, you don't know if you got anything right yet.
That's true, but just the names is it's a win for me. Anyway.
Watch him just say the first name, Princess. It's like, oh no.
Nope. Actually, once again, each of you got three right.
Oh, wow.
The top 10.
Elsa's got to be number one.
Elsa and Anna were the top two.
Yep.
Then we had just a miscellaneous witch, a mermaid, a pirate, a unicorn. Then we had Snow White, a Wonder Woman, a 1950s sock hop costume, you know, the poodle skirt and the...
Oh, that's cute.
And then Cinderella was the last one.
All right. Yep, so we both got three.
What was your third one that you got?
The same as yours, dude. Elsa, yeah, Cinderella, and Anna.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you say Cinderella. Gotcha. Okay. I really thought Sophia the First would be in there.
I did, man. Too. Kids wear Cinderella costumes nowadays when it's not Halloween. It's so freaking popular.
I wrote Snow White in and crossed it out.
I wrote Snow White and crossed it out, too.
Well, see, a lot of these, when you're talking about things like the Sophia the First, that's targeted to a much younger.
Yeah, but those are the people wearing costumes.
Not necessarily. Snow White and Cinderella, those kind of transcend. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, my wife was Snow White Halloween.
Yeah, but we said Naughty Snow White was not one of the people that we were counting.
I didn't say Naughty Snow White. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. If your wife wore Snow White, it wasn't chaste Snow White.
Whoa.
No, actually,
What are you trying to say? That's.
I wish she was still here.
That's his wife and one of my best friends in the world.
Can I do something about it?
Let it go, Elsa.
He can't even get out of his chair. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah, I've got scalding hot tea here. I can throw it to my
friend. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking Thunderdome, baby.
Are you threatening me?
Anyway, all right. So we each get what?
We each got 12.
12 points. So
it's 44 to 43. I bet I beat you to 100.
Yeah, assuming either of you breaks 100 tonight.
I'm getting to 100.
I do not bet. So I refuse the challenge. Because
not a gambling man there, Christopher?
That, and there's one big reason why I don't bet.
If you're scared, say you're scared.
I always lose. Always. Anytime,
that doesn't stop Jennifer.
Anytime money's on the line.
Doesn't stop him from playing Trivial Warfare.
I lose. Wow.
All right, you guys, back into your corners. It's time to go into the second half.
Dreaded second half.
Round four, question one.
Jack-o'-lanterns were originally made in Ireland from what vegetable?
Okay, I wrote my answer down, so all yours.
I'm thinking of two. I'm thinking of squash. Oh, maybe a potato. The other one I'm thinking of is really awkward and odd, and I don't know why it's in there, but I'm thinking turnip. And in my head, I'm like imagining a joke about how sad of a jack-o'-lantern a turnip would make. But for some reason, that's in my head pretty strongly, so I'm going to go with a turnip.
Well, I was using Ireland as the basis of a possible clue for that question, so I wrote potato.
The answer is Turnips.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from?
It was in there somewhere. I don't know. I have no idea where I got it from. The crevices
of that black-headed brain of yours.
There's, you know, those sometimes you don't have any idea of the logic. It's just back in there somewhere.
Mm.
I wonder where I did hear that.
I don't know. It was when I was researching the question. It was another one of those where I had known it.
Yeah.
Somewhere back there, but could not tell you for the life of me where I'd heard it.
The dark crevices.
Maybe I'm the one who picked on how sad of a jack-o'-lantern a turnip would be after I heard it the first time.
Maybe. Although it would be a tasty one.
All right. Jonathan forges ahead. Gonna beat Chris to 100.
Anyway, second question in the fourth round.
All right.
He's gonna be so hot at round 6 if I get to 100 and I've been talking the whole time.
All right, so the second question of round 4 is... another movie question for you guys.
All right. All right.
Michael Myers from the Halloween franchise. His iconic white mask was actually purchased at a Halloween store by the director for $2. It was a Halloween mask of what actor's face?
Wow.
It's an actor's face, not a character.
Correct. Well,
I'm going to lock it in.
Really?
Yup.
Wow, he's getting really excited. The director, that was John Carpenter, right, for the first one?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a very low-budget, independent film, so he went into a costume shop and bought the cheapest mask they had on the rack there.
Hey, no extra hints. No extra hints.
He's given the same information he didn't.
He said the cheapest. That's new.
I really don't see how that's going to help you narrow it down,
though. It means it's a bad actor.
Not necessarily.
All right, that's fair.
I'm just thinking about actors who are very popular at that point in time. And so that's just kind of where I'm going right now. And it's really strange because I wonder if they spray painted the mask or something, because if I remember correctly, it was white. So, I mean, It was obviously had somebody's face on it. And then they're like, yeah, that's even creepier with a guy wearing that guy's face on it. So let's just spray paint it white and make it even creepier.
The only alterations they made to it were they enlarged the holes in the eyes. They teased out the hair and then they painted it white.
Mm. Do, 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 do. You know, when you take forever to figure out an answer, I don't do any of this.
Actually, you couldn't stop talking when I was taking a while to figure out an answer earlier.
That's true, but I was actually talking about prevalent stuff, not trying to do the Jeopardy theme song.
That was actually the X-Files.
Wow. I guess it just all sounds the same to you in your head, doesn't it?
How was that? It didn't sound like Jeopardy.
It really kind of did.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
And while Christopher's thinking up his answer, I'm going to start looking through the phone book for divorce lawyers.
What?
Because y'all are fighting like an old married couple.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, right? You should have said something like, I'm going to find a knife and stab myself in the ear. Would have been funnier.
Mm.
Am I going to punish myself?
Would you have Van Gogh
Van
for
Gogh
that?
Did it. I'm sorry.
Did you owe me a coat?
Ah!
Crazy part is, I can only come up with two names. Michael Douglas is the first one. Streets of San Francisco came out around that point in time. And then the other one was a very famous actor who was doing a lot of action movies at that point in time, which was Steve McQueen. And the thing is that I'm trying to figure out like the hairstyles of it and everything. Because, of course, you can do like a James Dean, but I think James Dean had very short hair, and this mask had longer hair in it. So I'm going Steve McQueen, and no other reason than just thinking he was popular at that point in time. So Steve McQueen is my final answer.
William Shatner.
Is correct.
Wow. How did you, again, was that one of those little click things?
You click through. I saw that on some kind of BuzzFeed article. Things you didn't know about horror movies or whatever.
Yep.
I just don't understand the long hair portion of it. You said they teased the hair back, but that they obviously gave Shatner a lot longer hair than he did than he had in Star Trek.
Well, it was from the Star Trek TV series.
Right, yeah, which I thought he had fairly short hair in. So.
No, an average men's cut.
So you're doing pretty well. I'm
cruising towards 100.
Well, I was thinking you're having a perfect game so far in the second half.
Well, let's not go that far. I've gotten two questions right.
All right, so third question of round 4 is a two-parter. Ooh. So the answer will be 5 points each.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Orange and black are the official colors of Halloween. What does each of those colors signify?
Okay.
All right. I'm locked in then. So go ahead. I was going to try to rethink it, but you know what? I told myself in this episode I'm not going to overthink stuff, so.
Smart.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was thinking along church lines and trying to figure out how the church might have repurposed it, but Halloween, as we talked about earlier, came from the harvest. So I would say that orange represents the harvest, and black almost always represents death. So I'm going to say the harvest and death.
Interesting. Now, see, if we were doing this in a pub trivia style, I would have taken your answer and said, I think it might, with that, and say life and death.
Could be,
yeah. It just makes that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I wrote down was, again, going with the most obvious to me, it was orange is pumpkin, black is darkness.
Okay.
So, okay. Or night.
Orange represents the harvest.
Yay!
Since, as we discussed earlier, Halloween originated as a harvest festival.
Right.
And black can represent either death or darkness.
Yay!
Okay.
So you both squeaked into the...
Okay, so 10 points for you.
I didn't squeak.
10 points for you and five. No, you kind of squeaked.
All right, I'm going to hit the... Blah, 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 right on the head.
Wow, he's full of himself.
I'm full of 73 points. You're full of 49 points. 73 to 49.
Okay.
All right, so now we're starting round five with question number one. In the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, before Freddy Krueger became a nightmare-haunting demon, he was a human being who worked at a school and was killed by a lynch mob after being accused of what crime?
I was really hoping that you would ask how they killed him.
Oh, and I was hoping that he was asking what, I mean, he worked in the school as what, and that was a janitor. I knew that part, but.
I feel creepy trying to, I'm trying to reason out what I know about the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and I've seen one of them, I think, like through half-shut eyes when I was too young to see it. And so I feel weird trying to dig into what I know about that and think about what he might have done to create the future character that he would become,
yeah,
and try and logic it out. And now I'm like creeping myself out. Thanks, Daniel. Awesome.
Well,
it is Halloween, Jonathan. That's kind of the point.
All right. I wrote my answer down. I'm locked in.
It's got to be something horrific because I think they burned him. It was witchcraft.
Actually,
we found a witch. Did we burn her?
It was actually playing Justin Bieber albums too loud.
Yes, that's right.
I can believe that, actually.
I want to say it's either rape, murder, or torture. Those are the ones that you think about. I'm going to say raping a little girl.
Okay. I said kidnapping and killing a child.
Christopher got it. It was murdering a child.
Very specific.
Boom.
Oh, boy.
I had to knock the dirt off somehow, man. That's been a brutal couple rounds for me.
Question two for round five. What is the name of the real-life medical condition that mimics the symptoms of vampirism, such as hypersensitivity to sunlight?
Oh, wow.
I don't have an answer.
You're not going to try?
I don't know it.
Okay, because the name or the word hyperpigmentation keeps coming into my head, but I don't think that's it. But you know what? I told myself I'm not going to overthink it because, of course, albinism keeps coming into my head also. But that's just, I believe that's just pure white skin. I don't think the sun has anything to do with that.
No, this disease the sun will actually cause physical damage to the skin.
Yeah, I'm going to
vitamin D deficiency.
I'm going to say hyperpigmentation.
I got nothing.
No?
Nope.
The answer is porphyria.
Oh, okay.
Porphyria.
Yep, and some people actually believe that that disease was where the origin of the modern vampire myth came from.
Really?
Yes.
When did the modern vampire myth get originated? Is Bram Stoker the father of modern vampires?
I would say he's the father of the popular modern vampire. There's some characteristics that we associate with vampires now that he introduced, And he pulled information from various sources to just kind of create this one very powerful evil being.
Okay.
And what's the term again?
Porphyria.
Porphyria. Interesting. I want to look that up a little bit more.
I'll never remember that one.
I will do my best to remember that one when we're in a pub trivia situation.
Appreciate it.
Not a problem. All right, so the last question in the fifth round.
Last question in the fifth round is a movie question.
All right.
Movies!
In the classic vampire film Nosferatu, what is the name of the vampire antagonist?
Oh, crap, a duck.
I thought his name was Nosferatu. Oh.
No, Nosferatu is another name for vampire.
I'm going to have to sweep that sixth round to hit 100. Because I'm not going to get this one. I don't know this guy's name. I didn't even know he had a name.
Well, it was a silent film.
El Creepo. It was Spanish. For the creep. Do the creep. What? Do the creep.
I tell you what, man. That is a creepy movie.
I'm going with the gringo. Because he was truly the white man.
And I'm going to say Lestat.
Wow. Okay. No, his name was Count Orlok.
Really?
Okay. Count Orlok.
So you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay.
Actually. Yeah, I
You're
thought
not
I,
kicking
I really,
yourself.
No, I really thought I did, but no, I obviously did not.
Wasn't that the name of the floaty guy on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
No, that was Orko.
Yes. Count
good
Orko.
Good old Orko.
And I just outed myself as an uber dork for knowing that one.
No way, man. That's awesome
you
stuff.
You outed right yourself now as an uber dork back in episode 28, brother.
That's a good true point. So, but
so at the end of round five,
yeah,
it is 59 for Chris to 73 for Jonathan. The highs and lows, buddy. I went from sweeping around to getting swept in around.
All right, you got to get three in a row now.
To get 100, I know.
To call your shot.
Well, unless I can still win the final. I can still get it
there. Yeah, that doesn't count for getting 100.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
I make my own rules of bragging, Christopher.
Whatever.
Okay.
Round six.
Question one.
Can Jonathan sweep?
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
Only if he can tell me the two most commonly believed signs for spotting a werewolf in their human form. We're looking for physical characteristics.
All right, I'm locked in. I'm guessing at best.
So I'd say that the knees that bent in the wrong direction would be the first giveaway. No, no laughs.
Okay. No, well, this. Well,
I wasn't sure if you were being serious or not.
Proud.
Now remember, we're looking while they're
know,
in their human
I know.
Form.
See, Daniel, why I thought he was. I thought he was being serious. Also,
yeah, making the jokes, folks. Making the jokes.
Hey,
tell us
jokes.
A joke and we will laugh.
Oi. Okay. So,
and, oi.
yeah. So I'm one good. Of mine is about hairiness, but is general hairiness acceptable, or do I have to be specific?
General hairiness.
Do I have to be specific about where the person is hairy? Do you know what I mean?
I'm looking for something a little more specific okay. than just egregious okay. body hair.
So I'm going
oh,
to
very
say...
very nice use of the word egregious.
I'm going to say pointy canines, and I'm going to say a unibrow.
Awesome. By the way, if that's true, man, I am a werewolf, because see, I got pointy canines right there. Anyway, I said a werewolf bite somewhere on their body and hairy arms.
The two most commonly believed characteristics for spotting a werewolf in their human form are a unibrow and
you
hairy...
You thought I was making a joke.
I really thought you were, actually.
Hairy palms.
Oh,
now
no.
that can't be a joke.
No. It's like, you're one of two things, and either one, we don't like your kind here.
That's right. So Jonathan does not get his 100 points.
No, I didn't get any points.
Wait, he awards you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Hey, I did get the unibrow, though.
You really did. I thought that was the funniest of all the answers, and that ended up being the only really right answer.
Well, see, it's the thing that I was thinking is it's about having hair in places that you're not supposed to have hair.
Right, yeah.
But I thought canines was a better answer than trying to find another place that shouldn't have hair.
Hairy palms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have never got that one.
Jokes!
All right, now, second question for round six. Harry Potter and his friends were invited to what social function on Halloween night in their second year of Hogwarts?
Man, I'm trying my best to remember.
I will tell you that this did not appear in the movie, but it was the book.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember if there's an official name for it, but I'm locked in.
I'm going to say the Headless Hunt.
Okay. The Headless Hunt was the group that they're that was doing it, but I put the Ghostly Ball.
You were both incorrect. It was Sir Nicholas de Mimsey Poppington.
Birthday party. It was death day party.
500th death day party.
Daggummit!
Which the Headless Hunt did attend.
Yes.
Yes. Daggummit!
Yes.
Ugh.
I tried not to overthink that one.
Yeah, I'm giving. Frankly. I have to give my copy of that book back now. All right, so what's the final question, Dan?
All right, final question of round six. What serial killer was the real-life inspiration for the characters Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Norman Bates from Psycho?
There's three different ones?
No. These were all based on one person.
No kidding. She puts the lotion on the skin.
And puts it in the basket.
Wow, this is a crazy question.
The years are what are throwing me off here.
I know, because
Psycho,
it's all over
Psycho
the place.
Psycho throws me way off.
Yeah, because that was like 66,
I know, it had to be before that.
And then Silence of the Lambs was written in the early 80s. What was the other one? Oh, Leatherface? I think that was 79, 78, 79. So it's like you got three different decades. So obviously it was written for somebody that, and I'm just talking. Because
do you want to work together?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
All right, let's talk this out.
Let's do some old-fashioned pub trivia here,
let's
kids.
See if we can figure this out together, because we're not getting it apart.
No.
Okay, so I'm on the same page you are. Psycho is in the 60s. And yeah. So
it's like 67, 68.
Yeah, so all of the people that I know, all of the psycho killers that I know, Dahmer.
You know many?
Dahmer, Bundy, right. Manson.
It was all after that.
We had a guy called Gary Gilmore come up in a previous show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Who was shot in Utah. All of these guys, John Wayne Gacy, I think, was later yeah. than that.
Wasn't he the clown guy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know much about it. I hate learning about these guys.
I know. I'm not a fan either.
All of the guys.
Thanks so much, Daniel. Thank you.
All the guys I know about are like 70s or later.
Yeah.
So this has to be like the original. Could it be Jack the Ripper?
You know what? I think you might be right, man. Because kidnapping, torture.
We don't know much about Jack the Ripper.
No.
So hear this out. Psycho, the dude from Silence of the Lambs, and
Leatherface.
Leatherface are very different characters.
Yeah.
So it can't be directly attributable to one dude if those three are all based on the same guy.
True.
So maybe it's based on the thought of, hey, Jack the Ripper was this thing that we are only imagining about. He could have been any of these things.
I was trying to think of who flayed their victims or who. But then Norman Bates didn't do any of that. I mean, he just used a knife. They all use knives.
I think you're right. Used a chainsaw.
It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's true. I thought he used a knife also.
I'm sure he did.
Okay. But because I was just thinking all knives because that's what Jack the Ripper used. So you know what? I think that's a great answer. And if we're playing pub trivia, I'm all in on that answer. That's a good answer.
All right. So together we are going Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
Well, then together you fail.
Wow.
Because the correct answer is Ed Gein.
Who the heck is Ed Gein?
You've never heard of Ed Gein?
Never heard of Ed Gein.
He was considered to be the first serial killer.
That's why that's where I was going for Jack the Ripper. I thought he would be the first.
Okay, so who was this moron?
I want to say it was in the 40s or 50s. He was the first high-profile serial killer that was discovered. And if I'm not mistaken, he skinned people like Buffalo Bill and Leatherface to make clothes. He had a weird fixation on his mother, like Norman Bates.
Oh. Was he one of the band members in Slipknot? Marilyn Manson, not Slipknot. Marilyn Manson. Those are the ones that have the serial killer names. Darn. Well, then, how are we supposed to know him?
No.
Just saying, I know everything I know about serial killers
it's so
from
funny
Marilyn Manson.
There's so many times I'll hear an answer and it's like, man, I want to look that up a bit. I have no urge whatsoever to look this up at all.
No.
Going into the final question, Jonathan, how bad are we doing?
Well, if you remember our score from like 8 questions ago,
yeah,
pretty much the same.
All right. So what's that score?
73-59. Wow. I haven't answered a question right since the 4th round.
Since you called your shot.
No, I answered 3 right after I called my shot.
All right. 59, dude.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. All right. So can you give us a category of some sort about the final question?
It's candy.
All right. I have my wager written down.
All right. Yeah, I know what wager you put, man. You're not getting anywhere near 100 points because there's a zero on that piece of paper. All right, I'm in. Go ahead. Tear out my heart.
We are locked in. What you got for us, Daniel?
All right, I want you to put these top-selling chocolate candies.
Chocolate candies.
In order from best-selling to least.
Okay.
Hershey's, Kit Kats, Reese's, and Snickers.
Okay.
As a certified candy connoisseur,
yeah,
I have to believe I have an advantage.
I think so, because like even in my heavy eating days, I was more fried foods and not candy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this is tough for me. I'm going completely based on taste here.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm locked in.
I'm locked in too.
Okay. Would you like me to go first, or you want to go first, buddy?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So
wagering 0 points, Jonathan has his answer.
You don't know what I wagered. Be quiet. So I went Snickers number one. That seems obvious. Snickers, I think, is the most popular candy bar. It
really?
Is also Nummy Nummy. Number two, I went with Reese's, or Reese's, or whatever you want to call them. That's the one I have the most doubt about. 3, I went straight up Hershey's, and 4, I went Kit Kat.
Okay, see, we went completely different here.
Okay.
I went Hershey's first because it's the plain, you don't have to like anything except for chocolate in order to eat it.
That's exactly why I think most people don't buy it.
See, and I think that's why most people buy it. Also, you can use it to melt chocolate into it and everything like that to make things, and so I think that's a...
Wouldn't you buy Baker's chocolate for that?
Possibly, but a lot of people don't know what Baker's chocolate is, or at least I don't, anyway. So, number two, I have my favorite, which is Reese's. I love a good peanut butter and chocolate. 3, I have Snickers, and then 4, I have Kit Kat.
So we're the same, except I said Snickers. We flip-flop Snickers and Hershey's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the correct order is number 1, Reese's.
Oh! Winner, winner, Jonathan tonight.
I can't believe that.
Wow.
Next on the list would be Snickers.
Okay.
Then Hershey's. Then Kit Kat.
I would have had it if I'd have flip-flop Reese's and Snickers.
Wow. Jonathan, tell us how much zero did you bet?
I bet a lot of zero. A whole lot of zero.
Yeah, I bet 15.
15?
Yeah, to try to... just nip you in the bud there. But, man, that question ended up being a lot harder than I thought it would. I really thought Hershey was it, man. I mean, they have a whole park named after them, for goodness sakes.
Well, Hershey's is a candy maker. They make a lot of candies.
I know, but
okay.
I was going for the joke more than anything
else.
Oh,
sorry.
Obviously, it wasn't that funny, so I apologize for people who like jokes.
So do you know what all this adds up to?
Another win for Jonathan.
Another win for Jonathan.
And the first ever Trivial Warfare Halloween Challenge.
Which was much harder than any of us expected.
Ooh, I'm battered and bruised, man.
I do think Daniel might have been the winner of that.
Yeah, the winner is Daniel Richardson.
As he raises his hands.
I don't even think
air.
It's close either.
We got destroyed there. All right, so.
Let's finish up.
Yeah, let's wrap up here. If you do like the show, shoot over to the iTunes and click 5 stars and say nice things about us. You can also, what else can they do? They can email us.
They can find you on Twitter.
Yes, I am at Trivial Warfare on Twitter.
And Jonathan is very active on the Twitter.
I'm okay. I'm all right. So Daniel Richardson's the Warhead of the Week. He became the Warhead of the Week by going out to the website, trivialwarfare.com, and clicking the Become a Warhead button. pretty simple, folks. Pretty simple. Check out the show notes at trivialwarfare.com, and that's pretty much all I have to say. So, Chris, get us out of here.
All right. Also, if you want to shoot Jonathan an email, please email him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com, and that's one word, trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Let him know how the show's going. If you have any questions, please send them to him. He will ask them on the air. So, until the next non-Halloween butt-kicking episode, that's Jonathan, that's Daniel, and I'm Chris. This is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Take care, everybody.
Bang, bang!
Pew, pew! Pew, 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 pew!
Where's my mouse?
Lasers go pew!
If it was a Keira Knightley costume, technically it could be a sexy pirate costume.
Wow.
But I think 2014 was a little late for a Keira Knightley costume.
Mm. Oh, poor Keira. Sounds Japanese when you say it like that. Poor Akita. Por favor.
Well, Jonathan's just entertaining himself now, kids.
He is. He is.